Welcome back to Blue Cirrus Telehealth Radio Show. We just had a great interview with Danny where we learned all about what's kind of happening in the healthcare space, but let's get local. Right now, we've got an excellent guest next up, an excellent guest, Lorraine McGrath from Signature Health. She is the Associate Vice President of Marketing and Communications, and we're going to hear all about what's happening with Signature Healthcare. For those of you that may not have known, but you may be living, you might have been in Alaska at the moment, but Signature Health had a devastating fire back on February 7th of 2023, and they are approaching and done a ton of work, and they're approaching their target opening date. So we're going to hear from Lorraine all about that and how Signature has been helping the community and also serving patients while they've been down post-fire. Lorraine, thank you so much for being here. It's excellent to talk to you today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Absolutely. I'm in interested to hear what you all have been doing. Let's get right into it. Tell our listeners a little bit about the overview kind of what Signature Health has been doing since the fire and any of the milestones or challenges that you encountered all along the way in the last 14 months.
Let's see. A lot's been going on for the past 14 months since that really devastating building 10 alarm fire. Leadership really established, and honestly, the next day after the fire, really three main tenets. And one of them, and one of the most important goals that we have, was to really to continue caring for our patients and the community to the best of our ability. Two was to take care of our staff. And thirdly was to safely reopen Brockton Hospital as soon as possible. But obviously we wanted to do that safely. So the next day after we were all here, I don't know, maybe 16, 17 hours, the next day really at 8 a.m., leadership came together and establish these three tenets, of which we are still under those three goals, and have a focus on those. So really, in order to help support the first one, which is to continue caring for our patients in the community, we actually stood up two urgent care centers in our community, one right on the campus of Brockton Hospital, and it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we opened another one across Brockton, across the city on the other side. And I would say normally, if you were to open an urgent care center, it would take about a year in order to do that. And we did that within 3 weeks. And we knew
Wow.
the importance of doing that quickly, because we really looked at some of our data and kind of discovered that in our emergency department, roughly about 30% of the discharges from there could have been handled in an urgent care setting. So we felt like, since we were closed, that we could help continue to take care of our patients in this different type of setting than we had before. So this was really crucial in aiding, again, to that first tenet, which is to take care of our patients. We also took any outpatient service that was located in the hospital and moved them out to any of our ambulatory sites. Now we have 12 other am we have 12 sites, 12 ambulatory sites where we have doctors and nurses and different technology in and around our community. But we helped move some of these outpatient services out there, moved the staff with them that worked in Brockton Hospital to help increase hours, which would increase access to our patients, and be able to continue to provide some of these outpatient services out in the community while Brockton Hospital actually is closed.
I think that it's been a Herculean effort that you all have put in, knowing that you've got a devastating fire that's happened. I can't imagine standing outside of that institution or being a community member and seeing my hospital that I depend on, up in flames and not knowing how I'm going to get care, or if I work there, how I'm going to, you know, manage. Or am I going to have a job the next day? How is this going to happen? And I know that you all have had a lot of interest from local politicians and state politicians, even federal, that have been interested in what's happening with Signature Health. So you've been able to get, you know, quite a bit of interest and understanding of the challenges that you're under. In what ways did the fire impact those operations? And thinking about your ways, as you said, there's three tenets of taking care of your patients, taking care of your staff, and doing all of this safely. In what ways did that impact the operations, and how did the organization adapt to ensure, you mentioned that to ensure the care and continuity for the patients, you mentioned that you had ambulatory care centers that you sort of tried to offload some of the effort that you needed to have, and the lift essentially that is there around those patients into your ambulatory care centers. But certainly in the acute care space, how did you handle adapting and ensuring that continuity of care for the patients?
So because we are an integrated healthcare delivery network, there are three entities all that roll up into Signature Healthcare. Of course, one is Brockton Hospital, but we also have a provider group, physician group called Signature Medical Group, of where all our providers reside. And then we also have Brockton Hospital School of Nursing. So those three entities are all part of Signature Healthcare. So because the devastating building fire that happened in the hospital, we were also able to continue all of the outpatient clinical care in our 11 other sites that we have.
Which is great.
Yes. So it was obviously very, very helpful for our patients so they can continue seeing their doctor. We really tried to communicate via social media and via our website that care is not going away, that is still operable. We want you to come and see your doctor. Do not put off care because of what happened to the building at Brockton Hospital, but to continue receiving the care and wellness checks that one undergoes, you could still do that in our offsites. In addition, we did have our surgeons work to continue to conduct their surgeries in other healthcare facilities in and around our primary service area. So if you did need to have surgery, the same surgeon would be doing your surgery. We just switched the location. So again, not to put off your care, but to continue having your care by your provider, except that you were having it in a different location across the Southeast area. So there were to keep the continuity of care, which obviously is very important. I mean, we are a not-for-profit, mission-driven organization, which really, we uphold our mission, which is really to take care of our patients regardless of ability to pay. And we take that very seriously and really try to work out ways with which we could continue caring for our patients, knowing that the building itself of inpatient Brockton Hospital was going to be closed. And I would also say, I do want to mention, because it's very important, the building, and I keep saying this, the building fire, there was a devastating fire to the building of Brockton Hospital. But we, and I shouldn't even say we, I didn't do any of this, but our staff, clinicians, and other staff that were in the hospital that day helped to evacuate and transport over 175 patients safely, either to home. Some did get discharged home, but there was about 162 that got transported to other area healthcare facilities safely. This is, it's almost unheard of from my understanding through, yep. and mostly through our chief of the fire department here at Brockton, that we would have a 10 alarm, and it was an electrical fire. It was the largest response that Brockton had ever seen with a, you know, with this 10 alarm fire. That, and we had, you know, there were 13 other area communities all helping support the endeavors of which needed to take place, which was really the safe evacuation and transport of, you know, these patients. People came from Cape Cod, from the North Shore. I mean, they it was, again, a 10 alarm fire, which, you know, really pulls in everybody. But the fire chief, he said, you know, his guys are in there, or his personnel, I should say, are in our facility with 80 pounds of safety gear on them, helping in this endeavor. Our staff were side by side with these firefighters with just their scrubs on, and they did not leave and did not want to leave. Some were told, okay, we need to evacuate, and they refused to leave their patients and stood side by side with these firefighters to help evacuate their patients. And it truly miraculous, with zero fatalities and zero injuries. So we're grateful, and we really owe that to everything with our staff, who was just amazing. So I want to make sure that I kind of say that, because I don't think we were talking about the actual event so much, but it was a devastating building fire, but there were no injuries whatsoever, which is really, as people say, it was truly a miraculous event, that there was no injuries. So we're very grateful for that.
Absolutely a miracle, and it, and what a testament to the local fire department and the partnership between all first responders essentially in that space, right? So you had your staff in the acute care center that were evacuating patients and the fire department working together. I'm sure EMS was there as well. Anyone who could all hands on deck at that point. I know from my own experience in a hospital, whenever there's an evacuation, even under a drill, that's all hands on deck. And everybody is doing, you know, essentially bucket brigade with patients and trying to get them, you know, out the door. That's in drills. I've never seen it in reality. And I'm sure that you learned a lot of lessons in that process. I'm sure that some things worked and some things didn't, but what dedication the signature staff have to stay with their patients and know that they're safe before they leave, and, you know, a partnership between those clinicians and the fire department. So
yes,
kudos to the fire departments that responded to that, that fire, and to the staff of Signature for all they did to keep patients safe and themselves safe. No one, as you said, was hurt, which is, or any fatalities, which is amazing.
Right. Yes, I so agree. And I will say too, just to echo kind of what you were saying, you know, buildings don't take care of people. People inside the building take care of people. And if, you know, you need in need of care, these are the people that you want to take care of you, people that actually put you in front of themselves and know that that's what the priority is. You know, that's really the most important thing that you can, you know, think about when you're, you know, trying to say, you know, gee, I need care. Well, people that think of themselves after you is really kind of pretty special. And that's the type of staff that we have, very special staff.
It's exactly who you want to take care of, your family and yourself, as someone who's going to be selfless like that and think about you and your health and your safety. So yeah, glad you made sure that we are aware of that. And I think when I think about how the community responded and how the stakeholders and the organization responded, you know, my My initial thought is, how did you restore trust? But I'm not sure that you needed to, given that you had so much, community goodwill and all of the work that you did to make sure that your patients were okay and you didn't have any injuries. But were there tactics that you used to make sure that your community, you know, knew that you were there, that you were still caring for patients? Were there strategies that you employed to make sure that the patients in the community's new signatures was still there for them?
So we really tried to be transparent about all the stages of recovery that we were, going through, that at least that on the Brockton Hospital side. You know, when I don't know if we were really trying to, we were just trying to help educate them, because how would anybody know what was going on? I mean, it wasn't like a fire that, you know, they could see flames, and an electrical fire kind of carries through, in the walls and, you know, in the drop ceilings. And so there really wasn't anything that you could see, which meant then you can't really see repairs. You can't see what's going on. Unless you came in, of course, and came into the building, which that obviously wasn't allowed, but really tried to make sure a couple of things. I think to be transparent about what was going on, we always try to talk about this. This was not an issue about if Brockton Hospital was to reopen. It was always, when is Brockton Hospital going to reopen, again, safely reopen? And we wanted to make sure that people knew that we are coming back. We are here for the community. We have been in the community for 125 years, and our plan is to be here another 125 and beyond. But we wanted to make sure that people knew that. So, there's a lot of activities going on in the healthcare sphere in Massachusetts, and I'll just talk just about the Southeast region here, that leaves patients in the community a little bit uneasy as to some of the things that are going on, or some of the things that they hear. So we wanted to be out there saying, okay, don't be worried. We are coming back, and we have a little bit of a plan. Again, it's not opening a hospital with an emergency department, but we have an interim plan to help take care of you. And I would say, while this was going on, of us trying to evaluate what was going on inside the hospital, what it was going to take to rebuild, how are we going to take care of our staff and our patients and our community, there was a large physician practice that filed bankruptcy and closed their doors without any notice to their patients. And that was a group called Compass Medical. And the estimates say that roughly about 70,000 patients were left in our community without primary care services, and very devastating, you know, with no notice. I mean, they were, you know, here, you know, today, and then tomorrow everything was canceled, and there was nobody allowed in the building. So again, quickly, I would say fairly quickly, we tried to evaluate what the situation was for these patients, and tried to get an understanding of what we could do to try to help. In our, this is located in one of the communities with which we support. So we evaluated really the building and worked with the landlord, and decided that we could lease about 75,000 square feet of healthcare medical space in this building. And we hired some former Compass providers and placed them in this building. And we actually took a few and put them into our Raynham location, only because they thought that their patients were closer, or the location would be better for their patients to travel to. And opened this building October 31st. And we, not only did we add primary care for the community, we also added in cardiology, nephrology, OBGYN, dermatology. We have lab services and radiological services. And we also have patient services. And then just to add to our portfolio, we also opened an urgent care center, which makes number three, of which we had zero when we before the fire. And so again, shortly thereafter, we had another one really to help the community and help the patients in this area and expand healthcare services in that area. So again, trying to be there, trying to help take care of our patients, take care of the community, and be in the community to fulfill our mission. So that was a huge undertaking, again, simultaneously to moving services.
At the same time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then a whole different crew evaluating our building and the structure and the plan to move forward. We're also opening mammography services in this building. So while we have those other services that I just mentioned, we're going to be continuing evaluating what else the community may need. And so that we are going to be adding services such as mammography, and that should be opening soon.
Well, it's actually, it's clear you were responding to the needs of the community, and you had, as you said, this kind of devastating news from folks, and you were able to come in and swoop in and say, no, Signature's here. We're here to help the community. We're here to partner where we exist here. We want to make sure that the folks that are here in this community have healthcare. What a great story there that you were able to even expand services while you were trying to rebuild from the original building fire, as you noted. No one, just property, just, you know, exactly what, if you have to have a devastating fire like that, you want it to be limited to the bricks and the mortar and not affect any of the people. But of course, people were displaced, were affected. And certainly when you think about workforce challenges, I'm sure that you've had clinicians that were and other staff that were concerned, what does this mean for tomorrow for me? What does this mean from my job? And then if you think about February 2023, you know, we're coming out of the pandemic, but that's not a lot of time post-pandemic. So there was already a lot of uncertainty in that time frame. And now here we are again. When you think about that situation where you're trying to address the workforce, you're trying to address your workforce challenges and also ensure and comfort your staff and make sure they understand, no, you're still needed. What kinds of strategies did you employ to ensure some, you know, some or all or many of those staff were continued to be employed throughout this process?
Yes, another challenge. You know, it's a challenge for staffing across the state of Massachusetts and beyond, especially with clinical staff. Let's see, one of the things that we did do is we wanted to keep our staff obviously employed. You know, our plan always was to reopen. What were we going to do if we didn't have any staff? How could we reopen? The building could be brand new and beautiful services and everything is,
right,
you know, inspected and, you know, polished, and then we have no staff. So it was a big concern, and it continues to be a concern. We did start a first ever for Signature Healthcare, an internal staffing agency. So kind of what that looked like is we worked with our area, other area healthcare facilities in our area, and they're mostly in our area. Some were in Boston as well, but most of them were locally, I would say, more drivable here. But again, a few in Boston as well, and wanted to be able to kind of what we call deploy some of our staff to these facilities, one, to continue to care for our patients that would not be going to Brockton Hospital, but that would be going to a more local hospital when needed, but also, two, to help alleviate some of the staffing issues that the healthcare facilities were also experiencing. You know, kind of we're all in the same boat. Every healthcare facility is, you know, in need of staff across the board to staff hospitals. So we stood up the staffing agency and worked with these healthcare facilities to help deploy our staff into appropriate positions in their location while they stayed and remained a Brockton Hospital employee. And in that way, we could help the healthcare facilities, our patients, but then be able to call them back when we started to open up services. And I think I did mention, just like our surgeons are the same similar situation where we have our surgeons going out to healthcare facilities so that we can make sure that they are continuing to do surgeries, not only just on our patients, but and to help alleviate some of that stress that all healthcare facilities are feeling with staff. So we are, and have been calling a lot back. We have some months ago now, I think it's maybe a couple of months, we have stood up a what we call like limited services inside the building. Again, outpatient services. So, we're doing a few services inside the building. Nobody's staying overnight. We don't have an emergency department yet, but we've been calling that staff back to help service that. And as we move forward, slowly but surely, we're hoping to call back everybody to so they can be back kind of where they belong and where we want them.
Yeah. And again, creating that consistency that you talked about from the start, which is taking care of patients, taking care of staff, and doing it all safely, making sure that they, patients had consistency with the caregivers and your staff had consistency and knew that Signature was behind them, really stuck to those tenets that you that were established by your leadership. So those were great tenets to start with and kind of kept you as a guiding light, I'm sure, throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorraine, when you think about the process, this has been 14 months now. It's February 7th, 2023 when this happened. And here we are in March of 2024. When you think about some of the successes and achievements that Signature has had since the fire, you mentioned standing up the primary care, standing up, ambulatory care, some outpatients, how do you, when you reflect on these accomplishments and how they affected the community, what do you think the most significant success or achievement has been throughout that process?
I think it's hard to just, pick one thing, but I guess if I had to start, I would continue to say our incredible, heroic staff that really kind of, rose to the top that day and showed the resilience and the strength and the caring and their expertise in every way. And again, not just clinical people, although they were, of course, trying to stay with their patients, but there were other staff members trying to get, patients through the lobby and logged. And, we lost all our communication services because of that fire, and the backup power had to be shut off. So if you think about, we have five floors of, in our hospital, they were, bringing patients down five flights of stairs in the pitch black. We did not have our electronic health record. Again, all the computer systems were down, so we couldn't look up diagnoses or we couldn't look up their health plans. The information is backed up and we could print out some things. We did that rather quickly early on. So the clinicians would have some idea, but that was a pivotal moment where, the clinicians were so important because, they're the ones, the nurses know about, each and every patient, and they know what's going to help them and what the care plan was. So it was critical for them to stay with the patient and be able to guide where that patient went for additional care and what facility could handle them based on what their diagnosis was. Everything in the pitch black, so no EMR, no communication, no telephone, no fax, no
overhead page, no nothing.
No forms of communication. The only communication that we could have with one another is if you had their personal cell phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually went on for 10 days that we didn't have any communications, you know, internally. So we were doing all kinds of, you know, I should say that our information technology team was really trying to, you know, help stand these back up and to try to give us some interim solutions so that we could communicate. But, you know, I think about all of those things and in the pitch black, when I tell you, like, it's not just dark, it's pitch black. And you may be in that staircase that has no, you know, ambient light, there's no windows. And you're still don't want to leave. You are not going to leave your patient. And and we've heard stories. People said, okay, you have to evacuate. And they said, no, my patient's still here. I'm not leaving until my patient is safely placed. And that I would say, you know, you have to start with that. I would also say drilling for emergencies and discussing emergencies, I think, played another pivotal part in the knowledge that our staff possesses. So, and then obviously know what to do intuitively. You know, you can't really drill for every single emergency that could ever happen, but it does give you the basis of understanding that things might need to be done differently because of that emergency. And that if you talk about it enough and you drill, and literally we you know, get together as leaders a few times a month to literally put on drills and to discuss all kinds of different drills and try to learn from others as well.
Mm-hmm.
And not just what worked, but what didn't work, so that you don't make kind of repeat. So that, you know, I would say that we had a good understanding of emergencies because of that drilling and because of the discussions and education that's provided by the organization to make sure that you at least have a baseline understanding of, in an emergency, what would you do? I also think that was a big support system for people that were involved in this emergency.
And you're painting an amazing picture here. And I think I want to make sure that from my own healthcare experience that people understand, because you said all of this is happening in the pitch black. If we go back to the beginning of this conversation, the fire department was there with 80 pounds of equipment on their backs helping. And I think people think, well, this is just all nurses that are sort of working. This is med techs. This is unit mm-hmm. clerks. This is janitors, this is everyone right. that is in the health system is helping to focus on trying to get these patients out safely, trying to get all the people out safely. And when you think about transporting people downstairs, this isn't, okay, we're going to, you know, help walk them downstairs. These patients cannot walk. And, right. and if they could ambulate, then they were already ambulated out of the building. But those that were not able to, they are being transported in stretchers, in, you know, transport beds, and, you know, this down a staircase. These are not light apparatuses. So a fireman, a nurse, a med tech, a unit clerk, all making sure that a patient does not fall or slide down 5 flights of stairs. And that is an amazing accomplishment. And you're right, these little disaster recovery things that we think about, that we drill on in hospitals, where we are able to, understand, hey, this is what we do when there's a fire. It, you know, sweep the base and all these little, you know, acronyms that we always think about. They stick in your head and you recall them when these disasters happen. So you're right. Drilling on them and getting those lessons learned are a really important post. So what's the good news that you can share? Where do you think Signature is right now? What's the date or what's the time frame that we can, mm-hmm. the community can expect Signature to be back at almost 100%.
So yeah, we have been making just unbelievable, crazy positive strides in order to get this building back up and running and really making it better than before the fire. We are anticipating that we are going to be able to safely reopen and targeting late spring.
Great.
This year. So 2024. Yes. And some of the things that, you know, if you can just imagine, like the entire infrastructure of the electrical had to be redone and new generators, new main, new building to be built outside the hospital with all our new switch gear and rewiring 250,000 square feet. All of that is just an extensive amount of time. And obviously you have to be careful. And obviously we want to do it right. That's why we keep saying we want to make sure that we are safely reopening. But while we are closed and we're able to do all the work that we have to do for the infrastructure and want to do, and this is going to be all brand new infrastructure, which is really healthy for our building and for all of us and our patients. We were able to also pull through some, I would call, pre-planned projects that we did anticipate doing. However, doing some of these projects would take a lot more time and money too. So for an example, we are putting in and we're almost done with a new ambulatory surgical center. And that is going to be ready when the hospital is ready to reopen. Now, we did have that planned and we were going to be building that while our hospital was open. But if you think about when we would be doing the work would be in the evening because it would have, you know, less patients in the building, less staff in the building. And we would have to do it in the evening where you pay, you know, double time for not for our staff, but for contractors because it's it'd be done overnight. So while the hospital was closed or is closed because we still are doing all this other infrastructure work, we were able to build in less time and at less cost. So a new ambulatory surgery center, which is really planned for day surgeries. And it'll have its own entrance as well, although housed inside the hospital. Where also we were able to remodel the emergency department. Again, this was all pre-planned, but if you think about, we roughly have about 65,000 emergency department visitors a year, and it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When were we going to be able to remodel the emergency department? You know, kind of, it's almost, you know, again, it's not my realm of work, but it's just daunting to me to even try to understand that. So we were able to remodel the emergency department while adding a 12-bed behavioral health triage unit
That's
inside
amazing.
The emergency department. So we did have 4 beds prior in the emergency department. Now we have 12, and it's going to be in a secure area with all private rooms. So we're increasing our capacity by 8. And then we're also remodeling our lobby, which is rather exciting because literally we are in the process of, I just was up there this morning, it's fully gutted and we're really rearranging some of the services that patients and visitors may need or want to be a little bit maybe more handy, more patient friendly, really thinking about the structure and the process by which people enter our facility through the lobby and what they need to do. So we're able to kind of start from scratch and say, okay, let's you know, take a look at it through, you know, a patient's view and see what they need. Where are they walking to? Where are they going? Do they need ambulance? Do they need help of any sort to get into the hospital? You know, what about their loved ones? And so that kind of started from scratch from when we were when the fire first happened, but we were able to and are working diligently on a beautiful new lobby that the patients, our patients and visitors will be, and frankly, our staff will be really, really happy and pleased with the results. So when we open, we are going to be bigger, better. I would call us healthier. We are going to be healthier because, again, we want to be here for the next 125 years and beyond. And we are poised to do that late spring 2024.
Congratulations, Lorraine. As you said, bigger, better, more amazing, really melding the community and the architecture from 125 years ago and melding it into modern healthcare, a new emergency room, a new lobby. I've been in that hospital. I know that it is difficult, or it was difficult, to kind of know where to go because it was built 125 years ago. And those were different types of things that were going on. What an amazing accomplishment from the heroic stories that you told at the beginning of this conversation and throughout, of all the tales that have happened throughout the journey that you've taken, the work that you've undertaken, everyone from the CEO to yourself, to the IT department, to your nurses, to your clinicians, to your janitors, to your electricians in the organizations everywhere. I'm sure I've left out plenty of folks that have all had this Herculean effort to bring Signature back, really the Phoenix from that ashes. And what a great accomplishment. It has been a pleasure to talk to you and very interesting to hear all of the details here. I can't wait to see the picture of the new and improved and reopened Signature Healthcare for the community. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Well, thank you so much. And we look forward to our opening later this spring. I hope to see you there.
It's exciting news. We'll probably have some kind of ribbon cutting. Everyone should come in the community and and be there to support Signature Health and the community of Brockton, who are getting this, as you said, bigger and better healthcare facility. We appreciate everyone listening tonight to Lorraine McGrath, who is the Associate Vice President of Marketing and Communication at Signature Healthcare. This has been an interesting and enlightening conversation around the fire and the post work and all of the work that's been done and when they'll be opening here in late spring, almost 14 or 16 months after potentially that when the fire happened. So we've been very interested to hear this and it's been a great conversation. Thank you everyone for listening tonight. We'll be doing our next show next month. We always want to share healthcare information and telehealth information. This was a great story, Lorraine. Thank you again for being here. And thanks for the listeners for listening to tonight's show on Blue Cirrus Radio. We are the smartest show on radio.